Yeah, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what Jesus said in John chapter 10, where he said, "I am the good shepherd." Mm-hmm. Conjures up lots of ideas for us, doesn't it? We think of Psalm 23, and I'm sure Jesus was thinking of Psalm 23 when he said this. Mm-hmm. But we think of lots of ideas about cuddly little lambs. But actually, when you read John chapter 10, there's a lot less about cuddly little lambs and a bit more about aggressive wolves.
Yeah.
Because Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd. Because he says three things, really. He says, "I am the door for the sheep. I give life to the sheep." And then, something slightly subtly different, "I give my life for the sheep." He talks about how thieves climb in, and that thieves, they aren't any good, you know, you lose sheep that way. And he also talks about wolves getting to the sheep. And when wolves come and attack the sheep, thieves won't defend them, because they were only there to get some themselves. And he talks about hirelings, you know, people you've hired, people who, it's just my job, mate, just my job. Well, yeah, I'll look after some sheep. Oh, if a wolf comes, I'm not going, mate. I'm only paid. I'm not paid enough for that. It's above my pay grade. You know, you can see this, can't you? And Jesus is saying, but they are my sheep. You know, I'm not hireling. They are my sheep. And he talks, and he says something really interesting. He says how the thief climbs in to the sheep pen some other way, but I came in through the door. And you have to ask yourself, what on earth does that mean? And I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means that the devil got into this world by an unorthodox manner. He came in the guise of a serpent, whether he took that serpent's body over or whatever he did. I mean, I don't know. God doesn't tell us. We don't need to know the mathematics behind it, do we? But Satan came into this world via an illegitimate method. But Jesus came in through the door. And you must realise what the door to this world is. It's the door we've all come through. It's the womb. We were squeezed into this world. That is, unless you've had the blessing of being lifted out of a caesarean, which is a lot less traumatic, I'm told. But, you know, we all have come in the same way into this world. And Jesus, who is God, came into the world in a legitimate manner. And he says that here. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus has got some very powerful ideas in here. But he talks about being the door. He is the way the sheep come in and go out. He, if you like, controls access. And how important it is that we have someone controlling access. Not wanting to be remotely political, but at this moment in time, it's a big issue in our press about losing access to our borders. And there's a lot of hype, and some of it is very unpleasant that they say, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about how can we regain control of our borders. But you see, in all of this, Jesus is saying there is one way to God. Ta-da! He's saying, "I am the door. And if you want to come in and go out, you have to come through me." And that's really important, because there is no other door. You see, Buddha is not a door. Muhammad is not a door. And I was at a presentation the other night where they were saying that if a new law goes through, it might be illegal for me to say that. But it hasn't gone through. And I don't believe it will in our generation. But all the same, there are issues about what we can say. But Jesus didn't have those issues. He just said it. And none of these other God's little G at the front of God's are the way. There is one way to God. And you see, this is why Christianity is actually a bit exclusive. because we are saying there is only one way to God. And we're only saying what Jesus himself said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah. It is a bit exclusive, isn't it? Yeah. But Jesus will take everybody. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're lower class, middle class, working class, upper class. It doesn't matter if you're disabled. It doesn't matter if you are, unsure of your gender, unsure of your sexuality, unsure of where the next pound is coming from, where the next meal is coming from. It doesn't matter. Jesus accepts everybody. Yeah. And this is the great good news of the gospel. This is why it's worth talking about the gospel. Because Jesus will have anybody. Yeah. If you come to Jesus, he will accept you. And in a world in which most of us understand what it's like to be rejected in one way or another, it's really good to know Jesus will not reject you. This is good news. This is why we call it the gospel. Gospel means good news. He says two other powerful things, I think. One of them is, he has come to give the sheep life. Now, what can that mean? Is he saying this sheep pen is full of dead sheep? No, I don't think he means that. What he's saying is he's come that they might have life and have it to the full. It's the fullness of life that Jesus brings. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I don't do that Jesus stuff, this, you mustn't do that, you can't do that, you can't do the other. Do you know, in all the years I've walked with Jesus, I have never heard Jesus say to me, Stephen, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do the other. Yeah. Hallelujah, is that you, Lord? Lord, we forgive her. Well, it has gone off switch, hasn't it?
Sorry about that. I don't know who it was.
Well, I was just carrying on the music in my head. I'm sorry.
Just a bit of worship.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to be involved.
Jesus has come that we might have life and have it to the full. He hasn't come to give us a load of rules. He's come to establish relationship with us. Yes. He's come to give us righteousness, which... It's an old-fashioned word, really, but it just means right standing before God. Mm-hmm. That you can come into God's presence and God won't say, what are you doing here? But he'll say, welcome. Good to see you, son. Good to see you, daughter. And that's just terrific. That again is good news. Jesus has come that we might have life and live it to the full. I think that's incredibly powerful. Yeah. You might say, well, I wish I saw a bit more of that because I don't feel my life's that good. Well, do you know what? You need to get to know Jesus better because Jesus makes everything possible. You might say, well, it's all right for you, Stephen. Well, you know, it is all right for me. Somebody said to me, my son died when he was 7, coming up for 14 years ago. And afterwards, I was speaking in church and someone said to me afterwards, well, it's all right for you. And I thought, I took great umbrage, actually. Mm. I said, yes. I didn't say anything to them, but I'm thinking in my heart, you're telling me it's all right for me. Don't you know my son died this year? And I'm standing here telling you about the good news about Jesus, and you're saying it's all right for me. And I was a bit miserable about it for 24 hours. And I went home, and I'm like, I have a little bit of rant under my breath. As men of God do. And I was just talking to God and praying, and God just said to me, he says, Stephen, you know what that person said to you yesterday? I said, yeah. He said to me, it's right, you know. It is all right for you. And I thought, God thinks it's all right for me. This nondescript personage who said this to me, that was all right, but God's saying this to me. And then, you know, I realized, you see, actually, it is all right for me. Because I have chosen to follow Jesus. I'll see my son again. You know, the fact is, heaven is prepared for me because God has saved me. He has welcomed me into his family. I've got a legal note of adoption. I'm God's child. Which if you knew the family I came from, you'd think, well, that in itself is success. That wasn't the ceiling coming down, was it? No. No. You know, she's quick, isn't she? And you're right. Because it is all right for me. Because actually, everything's all right for me. The fact is, even losing my son. Well, it's turned out all right for me. I'd love him back, but I won't get him back. I've got to go to where he is. But the bottom line is, it is all right for me. Because God has made all things right. And I just want you to know tonight that when Jesus said he's come that we might have life and live it to the full. You know, my life isn't all exciting all the time. You know, I know that sometimes you think I float 2 inches above the ground. And I know that sometimes you think nothing touches Stephen. Oh, our pastor Stephen, nothing touches him. He's amazing, you know. Well, I don't want to burst your bubble. I don't want to cause your balloon to burst. But actually, I'm just an ordinary guy. I wake up some mornings with a headache. I do. Sometimes life doesn't work for me. But God works for me. Right. Jesus is working for me.
That's right.
And that is why it is all right for me. Mm-hmm. The third thing Jesus says is, I have come to lay down my life for the sheep. Now, you can talk about this like, well, yeah, don't we know that? You know, Jesus came, baby, died on a cross, rose again, gone the way to heaven, come back sometime for us. Yeah, we know all that. But actually, this is Jesus alive as a 30-odd-year-old man, quite happily preaching at the height of his popularity, and he's saying, I'm going to lay down my life for these sheep. And it was a horrendous laying down of his life. They plucked his beard. Can you imagine how painful that was? This is after they've come and spat in his face. When they blindfolded him and taken a big rod and hit him over the face with it and said, prophesy who hit you. You're starting to feel pressure. You know, this isn't a very good story, is it? And we know how it ends. They get him to carry his cross part of the way. They got Simon to carry it the rest of the way. But he carries his cross part of the way. He collapses because of the blood loss. They've whipped him so much that there was as much of his blood on the guy who whipped him as there was on him. If you've ever seen The Passion, there's this fantastic shot where the camera goes up above the whipping post and you see the blood spatter all the way around. Because every time they pulled this sort of cat nine tails really back, the blood would spatter all over the man who whipped him. Which is why the man who whipped him took his clothes off to whip him, because he didn't want to wash his clothes. These are vivid images. Powerful images. So when Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep, he wasn't just saying, I lay down my life for the sheep. This was powerful. This was something, really something. Because in another place, Jesus says, it's very unlikely that anybody would lay down his life for his friends. He certainly wouldn't for his enemies. But here I am. Jesus laid down his life for us. And I thank God for the power of the gospel. I thank God that when we believe in Jesus, we believe in his resurrection, we have a living Jesus who's working good out in our lives. A Jesus who is trying to bring a fullness of life. You know, I don't do many funerals, but I love doing funerals for godly people. Not because I'm glad to see them go, that would be rubbish, but because I'm really glad of where they've gone. Yeah. And how wonderful it is when we can rejoice in someone that we know we'll see again, that we know they've followed Jesus, and that they have got something with God. I have in my pocket a blue chip. I could talk to you about this, I'm not going to do, but when we first brought these out, I gave one of these to an old lady in Foxwood. And she started coming to church because of this blue chip. And she'd not long been with us, about 6 months or something. And they found her dead in a kitchen. And I had the privilege of doing her funeral. And it was wonderful to know that this woman was in heaven, because I knew she had decided to follow Jesus. How wonderful, how precious. I don't want to do funerals. Well, I would never do a funeral where I would say, oh, and we will see him again, and we will see her again. Person I don't know, person I have no idea if they had any relationship with God at all. It's deceptive, and it's a terrible thing just to say these things. Because we don't know people's hearts. But when we know a person, we know, don't we? And I just want you to know tonight that God's good. Jesus is good. Jesus is prepared to put his body between the wolf and you.
That's right.
And he did that. And the wolf's claw marks and teeth marks were all over Jesus. But because of that, I get to live. Because of that, you get to live. It's not automatic. You've got to choose to accept it. It's not like Jesus has done it so everybody goes to heaven. Jesus has done it so everyone who chooses goes to heaven. And we choose to follow Jesus. My time has gone, but I just want us to pray for a moment. And let's just talk to Jesus. Shall we do that?
Yeah.
Father, tonight we thank you that you are good, that you are the door, that you have come that we might have life and live it to the full. And we thank you that you lay down your life for the sheep. You lay down your life for us. Father, I suppose compared to you, we are about as clever as sheep. Lord, you're very special. You're very all-knowing. You understand the whole universe because you made it. But Father, we need you, and we need your fullness of life. We need to know you. And so tonight, Father, we all just say we choose you. We choose to follow you. We choose to be counted among your followers. And Lord, we thank you for the fullness of life that you give us. May it be a portion for all of us tonight. Amen.